I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com, and please follow us and like us on all the social medias. My guest today is Steve Mancini, the host of Italian Impact Weekly, a radio show in Pittsburgh, PA. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Frank. Appreciate the introduction. That sounded very energetic, so I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you, you inspire me because I've heard some of your interviews, and you are, you could tell, very passionate, very sincere about all this. And it comes through, and I love that, and I feed off that. And before we talk about all your about your radio show, tell us about your background, be it from Pittsburgh area and also your Italian family background.
Sure. I am actually born and raised in Pittsburgh. It's called, there's an area called Bloomfield. It's Pittsburgh. They call it Pittsburgh's Little Italy. And back in the day, there were a ton of immigrants from areas, you know, the most common ones, Abruzzo and Calabria, where everybody's from. In fact, fun fact is where I grew up, behind my house was something called the Adelaide Club, which is a small town in Abruzzo, where the only way you could join the club is if you had immigrated from that town. So everybody in the club was from the town. And I just remember growing up hearing those guys making noise, playing bocce all night, drinking beers on Fridays and Saturday nights. And, you know, I look back and I absolutely miss those noises. It's just kind of brings memories when I think about that kind of stuff back. Good times. But yeah, so from Pittsburgh, Bloomfield area, for folks that know Pittsburgh, Little Italy.
Okay, and can I ask a question? Curiosity, sure. Is that club still in existence?
So the club is still in existence, but they don't own the building anymore. And this is kind of, you know, we can get into this, but I'll tell you one quick thing. This is kind of what inspired me to start doing the radio show. Because these clubs used to be so strong and vibrant, and not just the Italian clubs, everything from, you know, American Legion, the Kiwanis, VFW, Knights of Columbus, all these clubs used to be so active and energetic. And whatever happened, they didn't groom their successors. And it doesn't matter what the club is. They didn't groom their successors. So they got old, they died off, and these clubs, in some cases, they're gone. In this case, it's still there, but it's, you know, it's a shadow of what it was. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to the folks that are there, because I appreciate the fact that they're keeping the club alive. But the problem is what it was and what it is are two different things. And I think part of that, again, the older generation didn't groom the younger generation, i.e. they couldn't maintain the facility like a lot of other clubs have the same problem. And two, the farther you get removed from the purpose of the club, the less it kind of loses its, I don't know if the word is uniqueness, but it loses that something special about it. Again, these people now aren't from Adelaide. Their great-great-grandfather was, or their great-grandfather, maybe their grandfather was, but they're not. So they're, you know, they go, oh, you know, my grandfather grew up there, but okay, but that's two generations ago. And now that connection's not there. Now you asked me, by the way, where I'm from. My family actually is from Abruzzo and Calabria. And the interesting on the Adelaide Club is my grandfather on his side is Abruzzo, from Abruzzo, they're from Abruzzo, and they were from that area. So my grandfather was a member of the Adelaide Club because his parents had immigrated here from that area. So it was just kind of ironic. And the thing was, I didn't find that out till later on in life, when I started finding out about my genealogy, which is something that a lot of people do too late in life. It's not too late. I'm still 6 feet above ground. But I would say later in life, where now you've missed a lot of years where you could have done even more to keep these communities and these groups active and together.
Tell me a little with this town you're speaking of. What province of Abruzzo and how big of a town is it?
I think it's, is it Aquila?
Aquila,
I believe that's the problem. Because I, you know what, because I'm actually a dual citizen. So I actually have my Italian citizenship. And I am registered with the comune of Adelaide, but it's Aquila. And I think that's because that is where my great grandparents are registered as far as having been born. So that's when you do your citizenship, they got to go back to whatever commune makes you eligible to be an Italian citizen. That's where you get registered. And that's where my paperwork.
Well, I'll tell you what you said earlier. I agree 100%. And I feel the same way as far as that, not grooming the younger people. I really don't know why. I don't know if it's just no thought in the future, and not to insult anyone, but not really caring about the future and just living for the present. And it's apparent here in Chicago as well, with a lot of clubs, organizations, and it is a shame. And the only thing we can do, still being 6 feet above, is do our best.
Well, so that's right. And you know, it's funny because I'm going to eventually at some point join that club. I'm in 27 different clubs now, because as I find these clubs and that they still exist, I'm like, I'm going to join them, but I'm not going to just join it. I'm going to join it and get involved, get active in it. You get to meet people, you get to go do things. Sometimes you're like, man, I'm doing too much stuff, but you know what? The good Lord didn't put us here to sit on our ass and watch TV, to be very blunt. You know, I do believe, if I have time to watch TV, then I'm not that busy in life. And I'm not saying I need to be running 24/7. We all need some downtime. We all need some rest time. I get it. But I figure I have enough time to try and find the clubs. If it's relevant to me, like, I'm not going to just join any clubs because, but if it's relevant and they're somewhat active, I'm going to get involved in it. So to your point, I recently joined the Calabria Club. Again, I got half my grandmother's side, they're all from Calabria. So I joined the Calabria Club, trying to get involved in that. I'm trying to not just join the club and pay my dues, but get involved. But at the same time, what's nice is I am some younger people now getting involved in that. In fact, we had an event about 2 months ago before I went on vacation. Yes, I went to Italy. I'd throw that out there in case there was any doubt.
Of course, I want to know about it, sure.
Yeah, I went to Italy. So we had an event about 2 months ago, the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Wonderful event, nice turnout. What was surprising was about half the members were Italians, but not the old generation. Yeah, there were some older folks there that had been living in America a lot, but there were younger folks who came to America because they're working or, you know, they're going to school or something. And so they were invited to the group. So now they came out. Now you've just captured the generation that you want to capture, because you'd captured it, you know, 80, 100 years ago when they came in off the boat. Whatever reason, there's a big gap. But now you're like, okay, let's not make that mistake again. Get young people involved now. Keep them involved. Keep them engaged. Make it theirs and tell them, look, here's where we failed. We didn't have you involved sooner. So make sure when you are running this, don't make the mistake we made. Get involved. Keep it active. Do social things, etc. And so I like where that group's going. I think they're on the right trajectory. Ironically enough, before I went on vacation, I did reach out to the Adelaide Club and said, hey, interested in joining? And they said, absolutely. Unfortunately, they were having the event to like bring in new members was while I was on vacation. So I said, well, I'll follow up when I get back. So I'm trying to get involved in these groups. And again, that was the whole inspiration behind the radio show, was get involved in the community, but also give the community a platform to advertise and push stuff out and say, hey, we've got an event this weekend, or so-and-so group's going to do this, or ISDA is doing that, you know, Calabria Club's doing this, you know, whatever. Give them a platform to be engaged so that we can kind of re-energize that community and not, you know, be like, oh, I'm Italian. Okay, to your point, where are you from? My family's from Italy. Okay, where in Italy? I don't know. Do you have any relatives there? I don't know. You speak Italian? No. What kind of Italian traditions do you have? Well, I don't know. We eat dinner on Sundays. You know, and I know you don't say what I'm saying. I'm trying to get people beyond that. It's a beautiful country with a beautiful culture. And you can be an American and still celebrate that culture. I mean, it's like, for some reason, everyone else can do it. Why can't Italians do it? You know, why can't we celebrate our culture? You know,
I am with you. Yes, for sure. I totally agree with you. I understand everything you're saying. Is the show an actual radio show? It's on a radio frequency.
It is. So we actually air Thursday nights at 5 p.m. on KHB radio here in the Pittsburgh area. And it's about, there's four different stations, and please don't ask me to list them to you, but it's KHB radio in the Pittsburgh area. So it is on Thursdays at 5 p.m. But then what we do is the shows are obviously recorded. So then we throw them on the website, ItalianImpactWeekly.com, ItalianImpact. But we also, we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, you know, all the big streaming services that are out there.
Okay, no, that's very good to know, because I'm sure people would want to listen to you. And obviously, if you're outside the Pittsburgh area, you would not be able to hear the radio show. You said a couple things in an interview, and I believe you were being interviewed talking about the radio show, Italian Impact Weekly, and they stuck in my mind. So I wrote them down. And what it was you said, when people listen, you want them to take away to something to the effect of, wow, I didn't know that.
Right.
And also, you're striving for a positive impact.
That's right.
And I love both those statements, and I am similar to that as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
No, so that is one of the things I'm sure the people are listening to this right now are going to agree 1,000% with what I'm about to say. Raise your hand if you're sick of politicizing everything. You know, raise your hand if everything has to have a negative connotation. I want to be able to turn the radio on, turn the TV on once in a while, and not just be like, ugh, angry when I leave. So our show is not about that. Our show is about, you know, interviewing folks that have awesome, positive stories. In some cases, they've gone through some hard times, but they persevere and they get to a better place. And so the show is about that positive impact of showing you, hey, we've got a really proud kid here. You know, ironically enough, not all the guests will be Italian all of the time. But the reality is, you know, Claudio and I are Italian. We're emphasizing the culture. We're bringing out the culture as much as possible where it is relevant. But we want folks to leave the show after an hour and, one, have enjoyed it. Not walk away, you know, ticked off at the world, angry, you know, raising your fist, like to say, you know what, I got a break from all of the noise. I love it. This was fun. It was a fun interview, good guests, and maybe you learned some stuff. You know, one of my favorite things to drive this point home is most people know who Mario Andretti is, right? Unless you're under the age of like 20, you probably, you know who Mario Andretti is. So we had Mario Andretti on the show, and we interviewed him. And one of the things that I learned was after the war was over, the Second World War for our listeners, you know, his family was originally in the part of Italy that was basically annexed by Yugoslavia. So they got kind of pushed back over to the Italian side now, the new Italian side. And they had to live basically in a refugee camp for a while, for years. So when people look at Mario Andretti, they see this, you know, really rich, successful race car driver. And I used to think, oh, this guy's probably living on the French Riviera. He is such a down-to-earth guy. He has struggled his way up. He lives in Pennsylvania. And you're like, what? Mario Andretti? This guy should have a villa, you know, in Tuscany or something over, you know, on the Amalfi Coast. And he probably could. But, you know, he's just a very good, normal person that just happens to be extremely successful in what he did. And so that's what I like about the show. You get something out of it. Now you go, well, if Mario Andretti started off, you know, he didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth, but yet here he is, super successful. You know, I think his son runs kind of like they have their own, they sponsor their own cars now. So now you're looking at it, you go, wow, like I want you to walk away from that interview and go, man, that was awesome. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. And then one other quick one is when we interviewed John Cameron. He's the biographer for Rocky Marciano. And I asked him, I said, you know, we're talking about Rocky Marciano, kind of his younger days. And I said, you know, why should people read a biography about Rocky Marciano? Okay. Cause there's so many biographies. Why? You know, and he kind of summarized it, you know, he said, because it's an incredible story again of that perseverance that I don't have a lot to start with, and I'm going to work my way up to the top. Again, they are positive, good stories, and they're not gimme lives. Like, those guys had to work hard for what they got. And so when you leave the show, you should be looking at yourself going, there's no reason I can't do better in life. These guys weren't given to them. They just work hard. They persevered. Sometimes it does take a lucky break. Sometimes you don't get the breaks. But my personal belief is look, when the good Lord pushes the smite button on me, I want to at least stand there and say, one, I tried to live the best life I could, but I also tried to take every talent, whatever it was, and live it to its maximum potential. And I think the problem with a lot of people is everybody has a gift and a skill. They just don't know it. They get complacent, you know, they're content. And that's okay. If that's your life, that's fine. But there's a lot of people that want more. They just don't know where to start. They think, I can't, that can't be me. I can't get, that can't happen to me. It's like, why not? So there's that positive thing about the show. And then again, the uplifting piece is, you know, that we want to show you stories of people that were not born millionaires. And it's not even about the money. It's about the fact that they were born with little to nothing, and they worked hard with whatever they had, and they made it in their eyes because they maximized whatever they had in life. Whatever they were given in life, they took full advantage of it. And that's what the show is about ultimately. But of course, the spin is they were celebrating Italians. A lot of Italians with a lot of contributions out there. And especially in this day and age, people don't seem to want to remember them for whatever reason. I'll leave it at that.
I'm pretty sure, and you just seem it, you were a teacher or are a teacher.
I actually am a professor at Robert Morris University. I've been teaching. I have a full-time job. That's my part-time job. At some point in the very near future, that's going to become my full-time job. But I've been teaching for about 10 years at different universities.
And I'm going to assume you're very good at it because you're very inspirational, and you know how to talk well, and I think you know how to communicate to people. And that's a great trait.
Well, I appreciate that. I think, you know, what's funny is I get asked to speak at a lot of conferences. And what people don't know is I never prepare for a speaking engagement. And I'll tell you what, I might take my points that I want to make sure I cover a couple of documents. But what I'm going to say, I don't prepare, and I'll tell you why. If you pour out your heart, it's going to be the most honest thing. And you won't lie. You know, you might be wrong. But people can at least say, I may not agree with that guy, but at least he's sincere. And I remember when I used to coach hockey. And I remember I was just a straight shooter with the kids. I didn't try and be their friend. I wasn't trying to be their dad. And sometimes I wasn't even trying to be their coach. I was just trying to be the guy that said, listen, get on the ice and shut up. Get out there, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was nice, and I was bad and nice, depending how the game was going, how the practice was going. You have, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde coach. But I remembered, though, that a lot of guys would try to, like, they tried to, like, fake, like, a friendship or be cool with the kids. And it was like, and I remember thinking to myself, like, I have some specific ones I won't get into, but I'll just say, I know some guys that did this. And they would try to be, like, buds. Like, hey, man, like, you know, and it's like, first of all, you're, like, 30, 40 years older than that kid. It's a completely different generation. Two, you're not his friend. It's nice if you can have a relationship with him, but you're his coach. And three, the kid can sense that kind of fakeness. It's almost like a politician, you know? People that believe that politicians really care about them, it's like, I'm not going down that road, Frankie, but come on, let's be honest here. It's an acting class. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to be me. I wear my emotions on my shoulder. I speak from the heart. And whatever comes out, but you know, at least at the end of the day, you can't call me a liar. You can call me a lot of other names, buddy, but you can't call me a liar.
Well, I like it. I buy into it. Definitely. And I understand you are a veteran as well. Tell me quickly.
Correct. When I was 17 years old, I joined the Navy. My dad had to sign the papers. I shipped off to boot camp shortly after my 18th birthday. I did 20 years. Worked my degree while I was in the military. I was in the Navy for about 9.5 years. Was going to night school at the same time. Got out for a brief minute to kind of finish my degree. Then I went back in the Air Force as a communications officer. And I actually retired back in 2010 at the ripe old age of 38. Because I did 20 years. And going to school at night, was able to knock out my degree. And one thing led to another. And I was a young major with 20 years service. And I said, well, think I'm done. And and went those retirement papers. So I was very proud to serve, and I always respect veterans. Again, I've been there, done that. In some weird ways, I'll say one thing. When people say they go, thank you for your service. I know too many guys that paid a heck of a lot more dues than I did for their service. And so believe me when I say I, as a veteran, am probably more appreciative of the veterans that I know really served, you know, in the combat zones and whether wounded or killed. And so, I was very proud to serve and to call myself, you know, amongst the ranks of those that gave you far more than I gave. So, yeah.
Well, that's excellent. And I do have to say thank you for your service. But wow, you are a busy man and an overachiever. I love it. You go for so many things. You didn't tell us about the recent trip to Italy. I believe it was last month.
Oh, yes, sir. So fun story. I'll tell you a quick story to that because there's a reason I went this year.
It wasn't your first time.
No, but this was a little interesting story because I told you I got my Italian citizenship a few years ago. During COVID, I was kind of finishing up all of the genealogy paperwork to find if I had any relatives back in Italy, because you have to trace your genealogy back to Italy to be eligible for your citizenship. So I did it on the Mancini side. Well, during COVID, I found out that on my grandmother's side, Romano, that when her father came over with his brother, apparently he left three sisters behind and they stayed in the town. Well, they never left the town and they got married and they had kids. So about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I found out I had actually living relatives in the town. They were fairly close. Like, for example, one that was still alive at the time, he's since passed, would have been the equivalent of my grandmother's first cousin. This wasn't like, you know, 12 cousins marriage. This was actual blood cousins. So I was flabbergasted because I remember once when my dad had told me that he was sure that one of her relatives went to Argentina. And lo and behold, one of her uncles did go to Argentina, but then he returned to Italy and he passed away, but didn't have any kids. So we actually did have a family member that went down to Argentina because a lot of Italians went down to Argentina as well. So back to the story though. I find out I got these relatives. I find the addresses and I write letters to a few of them. After 8 months, I finally get a response. It took almost 8 months for the letters to reach them. And I got the response via cell phone because I put all my information in there. So they didn't write me back. So it took almost 8 months for the letter to get from Pittsburgh to this small town in Calabria. So last year, we were like, we got to go meet these people. So we went down and met them for the first time. This year was a return trip because my brother and some other people who'd never been there had met them. It was down in a town called Mendetriccio. It's in the Provincia di Cosenza in Calabria. It's very near a beach area called Pietro Paolo. It's beautiful, beautiful beaches. But I spent about a week there when it was over 100 degrees. And when the wind would blow, it felt like somebody was blowing a hairdryer on you. But I got to see some of the sights down there because I couldn't go last year because there was like 15 people. So we literally just went to a very small area. You know, the hotel and the beach literally was like all we did for a couple of days. But this time I was able, my one cousin from down there in the town was able to take me around. And I've been really practicing the Italian. So I was actually 100% able to stay with him because he doesn't speak any English. We spoke Italian almost the entire time. Only a few times did I just kind of go, I don't know what you're saying. In Italian, of course, and he would say, forget it. But most of we were able to communicate, but I was able to see some very beautiful areas around the Provincia di Cosenza. So it was a very, like I said, it was just, I love the area. I'm still contemplating actually one day calling that retirement because those clear water beaches, it's so affordable. Fresh seafood. The people were incredibly kind. I could not have asked for a better time.
So you went just to Calabria on this past trip?
I spent just a couple of days in Rome on the way back. You know, we came back because there's no direct flights where we were going. So going down to Calabria, we basically hired, for lack of a better term, as my brother called it, a very expensive Uber. Coming back, we learned that there is a bus that literally goes, it picks up about 100 feet in front of the hotel we were staying and takes you straight to the bus station in Rome. So for 20-something euros, it was about a six-hour bus ride, but it was like basically being on a Greyhound. So it wasn't bad. Turn your headphones on, go to sleep, you know. They stop about halfway through, get off, you know, get something to eat, get some coffee, finish the ride. It wasn't bad. But I mean, for 20-something euros, let's just say about 30 bucks, you know, to get from the town to Rome. It's like, yeah, I'll take it. I'll do that again. But no, I loved it. Again, I got to see some beautiful areas. Yeah, I would highly recommend people get down to Calabria. I think people miss it because it's not easy to get to. But if you look, it's easier than you think.
And you have been to Abruzzo as well?
One time and only for a half a day trip. So the very first time I went to Rome, I went to the one town where my great-grandfather and his wife were married. It's called Pesco Costanza. And it's not too far from like the Adelaida, that area. And I took a day trip. Again, same thing. I kind of just hired a driver. He took us to a couple of little stops, which was nice. Had lunch, saw the town. Again, it's one of these, you look back and you go, how the heck could anybody leave? When you're standing on these views and you're overlooking these beautiful valleys and you see these beautiful cities in the hills, you know why they left 80 years ago. There were no jobs, no money, you know, it was rough. But now you look at that and you're like, I don't want to catch my return flight back to the States. You know, you just think, oh, well, I missed my flight again. I just want to stay put here. So no, so I've only been once. I do want to go back there.
Okay. No, it's, I agree with you. It's just a beautiful, beautiful country. I mean, just everywhere is beautiful. It's just, there isn't a place that isn't, and it's stunning, and you just, it really takes your breath away. And yeah, it is quite appealing for perhaps moving there, or just maybe even, you know, going there every year for three, Somewhere. 4 months. Yeah, definitely.
I thought about that too. Just a nice little 1 month vacation in a B&B or something.
Definitely. So what's the future with Italian Impact Weekly? What does that look like?
So the nice thing is now that we're on all the streaming services, I think we have a much broader audience. We were streaming live, and obviously the episodes were on the website, but you know, I'm in the IT business. I get it. People don't necessarily go to websites for their music anymore. So now that we're on a lot of the streaming services, the idea would be, we have had some international guests on the show. I think what we want to do now is start kind of getting more national, international guests like Frankie D on the show. But we want to get more, you know, kind of more variety of guests on the show. Just kind of keep pushing the love. We also at some point want to do some live broadcasts from other locations. I think that would be kind of fun, is to find some kind of event that's going on. And, you know, if we can't do it live, okay, fine, we'll record from the event. But the idea is to just keep getting involved in the community, keep helping the community grow itself, give the community a bigger platform to get engaged in. And that's going to be, you know, success for us.
And I assume that when you speak of the community, if people in the Italian community have events coming up, they give you this info and you mention it?
Send it to us. Absolutely. Send it to us. Like I said, I'm not asking for anything. It's not like, well, you're going to pay me to put it on here. You know, maybe one day we get to that when we've got 5,000 advertisements that we've got to get through. Okay, I got it. But if you just have something like a big event coming up and it's really important, you know, it's our annual fundraiser, and if we don't make this, we're closing. Hey, listen, I'm the kind of guy, it's like, just give me the details. I'll read it on the air. We'll throw it on the website. We don't mind doing that kind of stuff. Again, I want to support the community. One kind of quick thing. A lot of people have told me this. You know, I used to think the Italian community was united. And people said, oh, no. The Italian community is very fractured. I didn't really pick up on that growing up, because then I grew up in a community that was mostly from one of two regions. So they were fairly well united. But people said, oh, no. The Italian community is very fractured. I mean, people forget it didn't become a country till the mid-1800s. So you had all these kingdom states. They were essentially their own countries. So 100 plus years ago, when they were coming over here, they were Italian, but a lot of times they were more loyal to their region than Italy. And so that's kind of one of those things that people don't know. I'll call it a cultural aspect that has been passed on, that people don't necessarily know has been passed on. And so you know, that fracturing is something I'm trying to overcome as well. You know, trying to get these broken pieces and say, you know, that, I don't mean this in a very disrespectful way, but that generation's gone. God, rest in peace. The ones that came over 100 years ago, they're gone. You're now the generation to decide how you want to carry that flag, if you even want to carry that flag. Again, I'm a veteran. You know, I served this country. I love this country, but I'm also proud of my Italian heritage. And you, again, you, that is not some conflict of interest. So I think it would be nice to see more of the walls come down between the I'm a this or I'm a that, and say, listen, we're going to call ourselves, you know, from, you know, we're Italian Americans, or what, you know, third generation, second, whatever you are, because that unification is important. Because if you look, Italians are one of the few groups that is still left that can be, I'll say it delicately, kind of ignored, and in some cases more than ignored, kind of, you know, not treated well. Let's just say that.
Okay, not treated well. Exactly.
Not treated well, and
it's, yeah, okay.
Exactly. But it wouldn't be if 32 million Italians said basta, right? If 32 million Italians got together and said, you know what? We don't like being treated like this. We don't like that you're allowed to stereotype us, and it's okay. We don't like being associated with, oh, only Italians are only mobsters. Oh, we have no other successes? And there's no other group that has, you know, criminal behavior, just Italians? You know, we're only good for a few things, it seems like. So I think when Italians decide to really unify, they're going to make a hell of a voting block and a hell of a cultural block. And,
well,
you know, that's ultimately at the end of the day, that's up to the Italian community to decide what it wants to be. And, well, and I'm here as just a platform to encourage and enable whatever the community decides it wants to be.
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing, because it is important and it does help. And you are correct in what you're saying. And I hope we can become that one day, because it would really help us with all of those things out there. There's no doubt. How do they find you, Steve?
Okay. You can go start by going to our website at ItalianImpactWeekly.com. So that's ItalianImpactWeekly.com. Start there. But you can also go out to Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, TuneIn, all the major platforms, and just search for Italian Impact Weekly, and you should be able to find us. But if not, again, just go out to our website, ItalianImpactWeekly.com. We've got all the links to all the platforms out there, all of our episodes, and you can get a hold of us. We have our email out there if you got any questions. Again, if you have any events, something you'd like me to throw on the website, let me know. But please check us out at ItalianImpactWeekly.com.
Well, Steve, you are, you're the real deal. You can just tell. You're very, yeah, like, you're sincere. You're a good guy. You stand for what is good. Keep standing. Keep doing it. Keep preaching. Keep teaching, because we need more people like you out there.
Frank, I couldn't appreciate your words more, brother. You, thank you very much. God bless you. And again, keep doing what you're doing. Because all these little shows are the things we're going to start working together now. We're going to become one heck of a unit.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Thank you for the interview, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thanks, Frankie.